السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. لا حول ولا قوۃ الا باللہ العلی العظیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین، وصلی اللہ علی سیدنا و نبینا ابی القاسم المصطفی محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. Today, inshallah, we want to discuss the difference between true friendship and false friendship. And then based on that, we will see how can we distinguish between true friends and false friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that on the day of judgment, there would be no benefit in friendship. There would be no benefit in having relations with people. Khulla, which means friendship, would not work on the day of judgment. So I cannot say, because I was friend of so and so, so I would have no problem because he is a very good person. Or I cannot say my friend can release me, or you know, pay for my release or compensate on my behalf. It doesn't work. Even Allah says more. On the day of judgment, friends become enemies, except the pious. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. On the day of judgment, friends, those who are khalil, those who are close friends, they become enemies. So they cannot help each other. Indeed, I think a very clear requirement of being enemies, it means that they want even to harm. They want to put all the blame and burden on their friends and get rid of them, and also get rid of all the, of their own burden. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ, except those who are pious, and their friendship is based on taqwa. So we have two types of friends. Those whose friendship is based on faith, on love for Allah, on taqwa. They want each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people will remain as friends, even on the day of judgment. But those whose friendship is based on just gaining from each other, this becomes enmity. Even this is extended to family members. Even a brother and sister, or father and child, mother and child, cousins, uncle and nephew, they all can become enemies, unless it is based on taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. The day that a person runs away, escapes from his brother, mother, father, wife, children. They run away. There is no relation. Everyone is busy with his own affairs. But this is one stage that they run away. They don't want to help. You know, when there are people who all have problems, everyone wants to run away and be busy with his own problem. But I think the verse in Surah Abbas refers to a higher level. And that is not only they want to run away, they want to also put the burden on others. Running away is the minimum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا. No friend, no intimate friend would ask his friend, how are you? What are you doing? يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. Not only they don't ask each other about the situation, the criminals, the sinful people, they want to compensate by giving their father, mother, brother, friends, or anyone on the earth, their tribe, they want to give them as compensation and say, please take these and release me. If you want to punish me, punish my father, punish my mother, punish my wife, my husband, my children. This is when you are really in trouble and you don't have really love for your father or mother or children. You have been benefiting from them in dunya, but not really loving them. Many years ago, I remember that one of our teachers in the school, when we were in school, I think was my biology teacher, he told us this story that some scientists started a test on monkeys to see what is the relation between a monkey mother and child. So they put the monkey mother and child, both of them, on a plate, metal plate. And then they started warming and heating from the bottom. So when it reached the temperature which was, you know, annoying, this monkey mother was worried about the child, so was carrying the child and then, you know, putting one leg and then the other leg, but carrying the child. But when they increased the temperature and it was burning, then he put the child and stood on the child. So there is a limit. When the relation between children and parents is based on instinct, on ghariza, instinct, and not on human fitra, not on iman, not on love. If it is instinct, which is available in animals and human beings, when everything is okay, or when there is little difficulty, okay, still, you are my child, you are my mother. But when it reaches the level that it needs big sacrifice, instincts are not enough. It needs real commitment, and that comes only through taqwa, through iman. Then I would be ready to do everything for my child. My comfort, my money, my time, my energy, I am ready to spend for my children. Or they are ready to do for me if it is based on taqwa. Otherwise, as long as I don't need them, they are kind with me. They, you know, come and visit me. When I need them, then they forget me. And if it's possible, they may even take away my house, my property, and maybe a time would come that they would even sell their father and mother if someone is going to buy from them. You know, it is said that one person was carrying his old mother, and someone asked him, "Where are you taking her?" He said, "I'm going to take her to the market to sell her." Someone said, "How can you sell your mother?" I said, "I will put a very high price so that no one would buy her." This is ridiculous. How can you even think of taking your mother to the market? And what happens if someone actually gives you that offer? So, if our emotions towards our brothers, sisters, family members, friends, if these emotions originate just from animal instincts, which we share with other animals, this is not enough. But if they originate from real humanity, from that spirit which Allah has blown into us, نَفَخْتُ فِيهَ مِنْ رُوحِ, then this would be different in nature. Such people would not forget each other in dunya or akhirah, and would never be pleased to free themselves by putting everyone else in trouble. But unfortunately, this is the case with many people. Allah says, يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي. The one who is criminal loves. He does this with joy. لَوْ يَفْتَدِي. He wants to compensate for himself and release himself by putting his children, his wife, his brother, his tribe, and all people on the earth, وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضَ جَمِيعًا, billions of people, he puts them into trouble so that he can release himself. So, friendship would stop and can even become enmity. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لَبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ. They want to harm. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Except those who are pious. Those who are pious, they will not forget their brothers and sisters. Those who are pious, as we said, they will do shafa'a for their brothers and sisters. It's not that say, "I don't have time, I don't bother about what is happening to you." No, Allah will give them right to do shafa'a. Those who are good parents and children, husband and wife, they will not forget each other on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that those who are pious, when they are judged to go to heaven, and their family members are not that good to join them, we make them able to join them. Alhaqna bihim zurriyatahum or azwajahum wa zurriyatahum. We let them, spouses, their progeny, to join them. وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And we are not also taking away anything from their amal. We are not going to divide. I say, okay, this was for you, but now because you want to take your wife and children or your husband and children, I have to divide. So you had 1 million hasana, now you want to take 4 people, so we have to divide. No. وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We are not going to reduce and take away any of their actions. There is a beautiful hadith which says, when a person is judged to go to heaven and his family are mu'min but not that good. He says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, whatever I did was for me and for them. عَمِلْتُ لِي وَلَهُمْ. Anything good I did was for all of us. You know, when a father, a mother earns something, he or she thinks about the whole family. It doesn't, unfortunately, nowadays these things are unfortunately gradually disappearing. But so far, alhamdulillah, this was our mentality, that whatever father has is for the whole family. Whatever mother has is the whole family. There is no separation, there is no division. We are all one body. And one of the beauties of marriage in Islam is that your limited and confined self would grow. You have now a bigger self. Your wife, your husband, your children are part of you. And when you do something for them, you don't feel that you are losing. No one should think that if he spends on his children or his family, he is losing. Or he says, okay, I'm doing this as sadaqah, as infaq. Allah will reward me. That's too little. You are spending on yourself. Your family, your children are part of you. And inshallah, as we will explain, all the mu'mineen are part of you. When I help my brothers and sisters in faith, I shouldn't think that I am doing a great job. Allah must reward me. Of course, Allah will reward you, but you are not doing a great job. You are doing something very natural because these are your brothers and sisters. If you help your brothers and sisters, you should not think that you are doing charity. No, you are doing something very natural, like feeding yourself. This is not charity. I don't think that if I feed myself, I'm doing charity. So, if this person who has had this mentality, he says to Allah, عَمِلْتُ لِي وَلَهُمْ. Whatever I did was for myself and for my family. The hadith says, Allah will tell the angels to take his family with him to heaven. As I said in another night, Allah is looking for some excuses to forgive, to help. But there must be a reason. Even if it is little, there must be something. So when this mu'min says that this is my family and whatever I have done was for me and them, Allah says, okay, let them join him without reducing his reward. You know, sometimes we don't understand the way Allah counts and calculates. And we want to bring our own calculus to Allah's way of calculating things, and it doesn't work. For example, sometimes I think that if I want to do something and I only make the intention of doing it for myself, what I gain is more than the time that if I also make the intention of my parents. I say, okay, I am reciting 2 rak'ah salat. If I make intention for myself, I will get 100%. But if I say myself and father and mother, 33%. This is your way of calculating the thing. This is not Allah's way of calculating things. If you make intention of yourself, maybe you get 100%. But if you make the intention of your parents, you will get more than 100%. And when you make the intention of doing something on behalf of all mu'mineen, you don't know how much you get. When we do, you know, dua ahd, it's very beautiful. We say to Allah, please send salutations to our Imam and jami'il mu'mineen wal mu'minat, on behalf of all the believers, men and women. How many believers are there? You may think of your town. You may think of your country. No. في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. In the east and west, because earth is going around, and therefore east and west are changing. In any part of the world, سهلها وجبلها برها وبحرها, or in the shorter dua for Imam Zaman, we say حيهم وميتهم, those who are alive, those who are dead, وعن والدي وولدي وعني. So are you losing sawab when you include them? No, you are increasing your sawab. This is different from your way of understanding. Allah's calculus is different from our calculus. So when this mu'min says, عَمِلْتُ لِي وَلَّهُمْ, Allah will not reduce his sawab and say, okay, I give part of it to you, part of it to your husband or wife, part of it to your children. No. وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, the reward will not be reduced. So this is something that we should learn and benefit. Whenever you do something good, make the intention abundant. Grow your intention. This is beautiful dua. Allahumma waffir bilutfika niyyati. Oh Allah, please grow my intention. Make my intention abundant. Include your parents, your foreparents, your teachers, mu'mineen, everyone include when you are doing something good, so that they can also benefit. Yes, there are maybe few wajibat that technically I should do it for myself, but then the reward can be given to everyone. For example, you go to Hajj for yourself. Okay, so this is not Hajj al-Niyabi. But still you can say that whatever reward Allah gives me for doing my own Hajj, I want to share with my parents, with my family, with mu'mineen. This is possible. I am doing my Salat al-Zuhr for myself, but I can gift the reward to other people. This is not a problem. So, al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum li-ba'din aduv. All the friends become enemies except illa al-muttaqeen, the pious people, whose friendship would survive the death, would endure on the day of judgment, and they will help each other. They will ask Allah forgiveness for each other. They do shafa'ah for each other, and Allah, for the sake of some of them, would forgive the others. There is a hadith from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, مَنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ مَوَدَّتُهُ فِي اللَّهِ فَحْذَرْهُ. If you have a friend whose friendship is not for the sake of God, be careful. He shows friendship, but he wants you for your money or for some reason which is not for the sake of God. He wants to just gain and benefit from you. He's not there to help, he's not there to care for you. He just wants to gain from you. This is not for the sake of God. Amir al-Mu'minin says, فَحْذَرُهُ, be careful. فَإِنَّ مَوَدَّتَهُ لَئِيمَةٌ, his friendship is mean, is not valuable. وَصُحْبَتَهُ مَشْؤُومَ, and his company is not blessed. Is that not a blessed company? Is not a blessed friendship? We have another hadith in which Ma'asum says, "Man akha fi Allah ghanima." Whoever makes friendship, makes brothers and sisters in faith for the sake of Allah, ghanima, he benefits. It's a real benefit. But وَمَنْ أَخَى فِي الدُّنْيَا, but if he makes friends for the sake of dunya, حُرِمَ, he will be deprived. He would not achieve what he wants. If I choose you as my friend for the sake of Allah, I am not going to lose. Because I don't expect anything from you other than being a Mu'min brother with whom I can share my love for Allah, my concern. You give me advice, you help me. I don't want anything from dunya to come from you to me. But if I become a friend with a person just to gain, many times you will be disappointed. There are people who have, for example, power, who have position, who have money. People try to get close to them. They spend lots of energy and time to get close to that person so that one day they can gain. But then they will be disappointed. They will remain deprived. If they gain even little thing, they will lose their honor and dignity. Friendship must not be for gaining something from dunya, must be for the sake of Allah, and then you will never regret. Another hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is, kullu mawaddatin mabniyatan ala ghayr dhatillah dhalalun. Every friendship which is not based on Allah, on love for Allah, this is misguidance. If friendship is based on worldly reasons, I become friend with this person because of his, I don't know, position, power, money. I want to gain from him something worldly. This is not good. This is zalal. This is misguidance. If you want honor, if you want dignity, if you want richness, if you want support, get it from Allah, not from people who are themselves from head to the feet full of needs. Who are these people from whom we want to receive honor and dignity? إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمَنِينَ. Izzah, honor, dignity is for Allah and the Prophet and Mu'mineen. So if I go towards people and try to get close to them and become their friends for the sake of dunya, this is dhalal, this is misguidance. You are confused, you are losing. وَالْإِعْتَمَادُ عَلَيْهَا مُحَالٌ. It's impossible to be able to depend on such friendship. You can never rely on such friendship because it's very weak. The real time that we need friendship is when the time of need comes. When you are young, when you have respect, when you have money, when you have health, you cannot understand who is your real friend. But when you are weak, when you need help, when you are in trouble, do you think such people are coming to help you? Al-i'timadu alayha, to rely on such friendship, muhalun, is impossible. Never people who have become our friends for the sake of dunya will help us when we are in need. But those who are our friends for the sake of Allah, when we are in need, they come more to us. They try to be more available. When things are going all right, they say, okay, we should meet as much as we can. But when they see you are in need, they try to spend more time with you. They try to help you more. They try to give more priority to you. So now we see that we have two types of friends. One side is up to me. Another side is perhaps unknown to me. The part which is related to me, I have to be examining myself. Why I want to be friend with this person? Why I want to choose him or her as my friend? Is my intention pure? or I just want to gain something. Many times we don't understand. Many times we think our intention is pure, but it's not. So we have to examine ourselves. But also, we have to examine the other party. Why that person has come to me? Why that person is kind to me? Why that person shows respect to me, praises me, gives me credit? Is it for the sake of Allah or wants to deceive me? Wants to win my trust and later, when I have trusted him, he would betray me. So we have to examine ourselves and the other party. We have hadith about the need for examination. This is my last hadith today. Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam said, قدم الاختبار في اتخاذ الاخوان. Before you choose anyone as your brothers or sisters, as friends, examine them. قدم الاختبار. If in your school, in university, in college, in work, there are people, don't easily become their friends. Be kind, smile, you don't need to fight, but don't choose them as your friends, as your companions before testing them. Don't become friends with everyone as soon as you meet. This person goes to a school or college or university, in few days he has many friends. This is not friends. You have to examine. When a person is friend, it means that I am giving him part of my heart. I am connecting my destiny to that person because that person knows about me, knows about my secrets. I should trust that person and establish this trustworthiness in that person and then become friends. It's like marriage. You cannot marry without thinking, without examining. Friendship is not something easy. There are people who suffer all their life because they had bad friends and they cannot get rid of it. Imagine if I have a friend who is, na'uzu billah, a drug dealer. All my life people will still associate me to that person. I cannot get rid of this relation. So even if I manage to keep away from his bad action, I cannot get rid of this association. So either I do the same thing or at least I would suffer because of association. So we have to be careful. قدم الاختبار في اتخاذ الاخوان. Before choosing friends, test them. Inshallah, we will talk how to test them. فَإِنَّ الْإِخْتِبَارِ مِعْيَارٌ يُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ وَالْأَشْرَارِ. By testing and trying, you can distinguish who are good people and who are bad people. So we have to be very careful. We have to be alert and very cautious in choosing friends. Of course, not too much cautious that you cannot make any friendship. You have to find the balance. We hope that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless us with having true friends among mu'mineen who would be helping us in dunya and on the day of judgment inshallah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. در ادامه بحثمون درباره برادری و دوستی به این مسئله اشاره کردیم که از دیدگاه قرآن کریم روابط اجتماعی مثل دوستی، مثل همکار بودن، رئیس و مرؤوس، حتی روابط خانوادگی، پدر، مادر، فرزند، برادر، خواهر، عمو، اینها نمیتونند فی نفسه کمکی بکنند به انسان. در روز قیامت من نمیتونم به اعتماد این که پدرم آدم خوبی است، مادرم آدم خوبی است، یا مثلا امکاناتی دارن بگم خب اینا میان به من کمک میکنن. قرآن میفرماید که در روز قیامت هر کسی انقدر گرفتار است که اصلا توجه نمیتونه بکنه به دیگری. لکل امرئ منهم یومئذ شأن یغنی، هر کی انقدر گرفتاری داره که برای خودش بسه. در جای دیگه تازه بالاتر میگه، میگه نه تنها کمکی نمی کنن، بلکه اونایشون که مجرمن دوست دارن به عنوان فدیه و غرامت پدر و مادر و قبیله و حتی همه کسانی که روی کره زمین هستن و بدن که خودشون نجات بدن. پس کمک نمی کنن، تازه میخوان خودشونو با گرفتار کردن دیگران خلاص کنن. لذا میفرماد الاخلاء یومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو، دوستان صمیمی روز قیامت با هم دشمن میشن. الا المتقین، مگر اونهایی که تقوا داشته باشن. پس معلوم میشه ما دو نوع دوستی داریم، دوستی که مبتنی است بر عوامل دنیوی و سطحی، با هم میگیم، میخندیم، نمیدونم پارک میریم، مدرسه میریم، من میخوام از او استفاده کنم، میگم خب حالا هر وقت گرفتار شدم ازش کمک میگیرم، ازش پول قرض میگیرم، یا این نمیدونم قدرت داره، مقام داره، میخوام از این طریق استفاده بکنم. این دوستی مبتنی بر امور دنیوی است، مبتنی بر اینه که آدم میخواد یه چیزی گیر بیاره از اون شخص به دست بیاره، این میشه دشمنی. چون در روز قیامت معلوم میشه که ضرر کردیم و ضرر رسوندیم، هم خودمون ضرر کردیم چون به جای اینکه به خدا تکیه کنیم به اینها اعتماد کردیم. و در حدیث میفرماید که اعتماد بر این گونه دوستی که بر غیر خدا مبتنی است ضلالت است و نمیشه اعتماد کرد. به اون طرف هم ضرر زدیم، وقتشو تلف کردیم، انرژیشو تلف کردیم، بی خودی تملقش کردیم، مدهش کردیم، غرور درش ایجاد کردیم، لذا میشه دشمنی. چون در آخرت باطن امور آشکار میشه، معلوم میشه تو همین دنیا همین دوستی نبود. اگر تو همین دنیا دوستی بود تو آخرت هم دوستی میمون. اما اون دوستی که مبتنی بر تقواست، واقعا هم دیگر رو دوست دارن، واقعا خیر هم دیگر رو میخوان، واقعا درد اون را درد خودش میدونه، خوشی او را خوشی خودش میدونه، این باقی میمونه. اینها در روز قیامت باز هم دوستن، در روز قیامت به فکر هم هستن، شفاعت برای هم میکنن. و مثال زدم که همین قرآنی که می‌فرماید که روز قیامت فرد مجرم و گناهکار می‌خواد که پدر و مادر و همسر و قبیله و همه مردم رو بده تا خودش خلاص بشه، همین قرآن راجع به مؤمنین می‌فرماید که ما این مؤمنین را وارد بهش می‌کنیم و ذریه اینها را به اونها ملحق می‌کنیم و از عملشون هم هیچی کم نمی کنیم. در روایت داره که مؤمن وقتی که حسابش رسیدگی میشه و خداوند حکم میکنه که به بهشت بره، گاهی اوقات خانوادش در اون حد نیستن که به بهشت برن، ایمان دارن ولی عملی چیزی ندارن که اونها رو بهشتی کنه یا هم رتبه او کنه. در روایت داره که میگه خدایا من هر کاری کردم برای خودم و اونها کردم، عملت لی و لهم، من خودخواه نبودم، من اونها رو دوست داشتم، هر کار خیری کردم برای اونها هم بوده. خداوند میفرماد اونها رو هم بهش ملحق بکنید و از اجرش کم هم نکنید، نه اینکه تقسیم کنید بگید خب حالا یه نفر رو تقسیم به 5 نفر، 4 نفر، 6 نفر میکنیم اجرشو کم میکنیم. ما علتناهم من عملهم من شيء، هیچی کم نمی کنیم. و این نکته رو توضیح دادم که حساب خدا با حساب ما فرق میکنه. ما گاهی نمیفهمیم، دنیایی نگاه میکنیم، مثلا فکر میکنیم اگر کار خوبی کردم به نیت خودم بکنم ثوابش 100% برا من میشه، اما مثلا اگه به نیت پدر و مادرم بکنم ثواب من کم میشه، تقسیم میشه. در صورتی که وقتی شما کار خیر را به نیت دیگران انجام میدید ثواب شما بیشتر میشه، کم نمیشه از شما. هرچی میتونید دایره نیت خودتون رو توسعه بدید. همه مؤمنین و مؤمنات، گذشته ها، زنده ها، اینها رو داخل کنید. این امر مادی نیست که فکر کنید ضرر میکنید، این خودش یک کار خیره. من قرآن بخونم، نماز بخونم، نمیدونم صدقه بدم به نیت اموات، به نیت مؤمنین، به نیت معصومین، نباید فکر کنید که آقای ثوابم کم شد پس یه مقدارش برای خودم انجام بدم یه مقدارش برای اونا. نه، شما هر چی بتونید نیت را توسعه بدید ارزش کار خودتون رو بیشتر کردید. بعد گفتیم برای اینکه حالا معلوم بشه که چه نوع دوستی الهی است که در روز قیامت باقی میمونه و کدومش دوستی دنیایی است که تبدیل به دشمنی میشه، باید امتحان بکنیم، اختبار بکنیم. در روایت میفرماد که امیرالمومنین که اول امتحان کن بعد به عنوان دوست انتخاب کن، نه اینکه تا رفتی تو کالج تا دانشگاه تا محل کار فوری دوست بشید، اول امتحان. حالا انشاءالله این بحث رو بیشتر در شبهای آینده دنبال میکنیم. امیدواریم که انشاءالله خداوند متعال در دنیا و آخرت ما را با نیکان و ابرار و پاکان انشاءالله قرار بده. و صلی الله علی سیدنا محمد و آل طیبین الطاهرین.